When was the last time you faced a really hard test? Perhaps it was an actual test, like an exam at school that tested your knowledge on a particular subject. Most of us in this room probably remember having gone through a really awful exam, a really hard test. And what's really hard about tests is that they don't just test you on a particular subject like maths. They actually put you to the test because it's a test of how well you're going to prepare and study for this test, how well you work rather than procrastinate, how well you can perform under pressure, how resilient you are against the ticking clock. Perhaps you can recall a time when a situation really put you to the test, a time that tested your character, your resolve, your faith. I was talking to a friend over the Christmas holidays, and he told me about how he discovered that he only had $50 left in his bank account for the rest of the Christmas break, that he wasn't going to be paid for another couple of months. In this situation, my friend's faith in God's provision was really put to the test. Perhaps it's a time when a person has put you to the test. Maybe a loved one is pushing all of your buttons all the time and they don't even realize they're doing it. Or worse, they do realize and know what they're doing and they're doing it to you anyway. Perhaps you snap at them, you're being a bit cold around them. Your character is really being put to the test. For me personally, the tests that come my way in life that I really struggle with are the tests that require me to engage in conflict in a relationship. Right? I hate conflict. I don't particularly enjoy having the hard conversations, but sometimes I do need to bite the bullet and have the hard conversation. That is the kind of test that I find really hard. I'm sure you in the room will know what the kind of tests are that really put you to the test when they come in life. And let's be real, tests come our way in life all the time, pretty much any time you need to make a choice. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes we succeed and we overcome the test, sometimes we fail. This is what life is like for every single human being. And what is amazing about today's passage, and why it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, is that we see that even Jesus was tested. Even he was put to the test. Even the Son of God was put to the test. And though he was tested, he overcame by the power of the Word of God. So as soon as Jesus appears on the scene in Matthew's gospel, he's baptized in the River Jordan, and a voice from heaven declares, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." And the Holy Spirit comes and hovers upon Jesus. And so we have God the Father and God the Holy Spirit affirm the identity of God the Son, saying, "This is my Son." On the first pages of Matthew's Gospel, we already know who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. And then the first thing that Jesus does as soon as he's baptized is he's led into the wilderness. He's led into the wilderness? What's going on here? Jesus is in the wilderness to endure the tests that he must face. as the Son of God. This test of being in the wilderness is actually a very clever reference to Israel, because Israel had travelled in the wilderness. You'll notice that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, which is parallel to how Israel had spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus' baptism, even, when he's baptized in water and declared to be the Son of God, is like how Israel was delivered from slavery in Egypt by passing through the Red Sea. So Jesus here is being cast as the new Israel, going through the same things that Israel had gone through. But what is at stake here is Jesus going to succeed where Israel failed in the wilderness? You'll also notice that the first words out of the devil's mouth to Jesus are, "If you are the Son of God." The test is about whether or not Jesus really is the Son of God, who we've just read that God has affirmed that he is. Is Jesus going to live up to his identity? Is he going to prove that he can overcome every test? So we read in the first test, the devil says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." On the surface, this would seem to be a simple test of hunger, right? Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness, which is where we get the tradition of Lent from, that we fast in the 40 days prior to Easter. But there's more to this test than just hunger. If we recall Israel's story, Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and they were fed by the hand of God. They were given manna in the wilderness. Manna, which was kind of like this bread that fell from the sky, these little wafers that the Israelites would go out and collect every single day. But God said to them, "Take only what you need. Don't take any more than what you need. And trust that I will provide for you tomorrow and the day after." This was a test for Israel to trust in God's daily provision. So in the same way, this is a test for Jesus in his trust in God's daily provision. But Jesus' response to the devil is really telling about what he actually sees as what he needs to depend on God for his provision. Jesus says, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The fact that Jesus quotes a scripture verse from the book of Deuteronomy demonstrates that the issue is not merely about bread, but about where Jesus really depends for his daily need. Bread might feed him, but what he really needs to get through this test is dependence on the Word of God. The test is really about who will Jesus listen to. Is he going to listen to the voice of the devil, or is he going to listen to the voice of God? And that brings us to the crux of what is really at stake here in this entire passage. Why this passage is so significant for us today. In every test, Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy every time. The key theme in the book of Deuteronomy is a word that appears over 80 times, and it was a word that was spoken by Elkan before during the prayer of preparation. The word is Shema, which hasn't quite rendered properly there. In Hebrew, the word is shema, and this word means hear. It's the word we get when the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength." This is essentially what Israel was called to do, to shema, to listen to God. And not just to hear God, his words, but to live according to God's word. Israel was called in the wilderness to listen to God, and Israel failed. But here we see that Jesus proves his identity as the Son of God, and he overcomes the devil. And through overcoming the devil, he fulfills God's plan of salvation, because Jesus listens to God. He listens to God's word. In this first test, Jesus proves that he perfectly listens to God's word. The second test, the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he, God, will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Here we see the craftiness of the devil. He's trying to get Jesus to prove his identity as the Son of God by demonstrating a radical act of faith, jumping off the temple. But Satan, in his wiliness, he quotes scripture, knowing that Jesus will listen to God in his word. But Satan takes this scripture, which is taken from Psalm 91, he takes it out of context and he twists its meaning. If you read this psalm, if you look it up, the psalm is a collection of God's promises of protection. But the promises are for the one who abides in God. It says so again and again, if you abide in God and have him as your refuge. Jesus sees straight through this lie. And Jesus' response to the devil is really telling. Jesus says, "The scriptures also say, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." The issue in this test is whether or not Jesus is going to push the boundaries, putting God to the test, trying to get his way. Because Israel in the wilderness, they put God to the test again and again and again. They grumbled, they complained, they whined, "Why did you rescue us from Egypt? At least we had cucumbers that we could eat back in Egypt." They kept putting God to the test with their ungrateful and selfish hearts. But Jesus proves his identity as the Son of God, not by leaping off the temple in a radical act of faith, but by enduring this test with resolve and patience and uncompromising his relationship with God. Jesus cuts through the haze and he quotes scripture back at the devil, calling out his tricks. In the second test, we see that Jesus will honor God perfectly according to his word. And the third and final test. The devil brings Jesus to see all the kingdoms of the earth, and he says, "I will give all of this to you if you will kneel down and worship me." The devil is getting desperate here. He doesn't even begin with, "If you are the Son of God." But he tempts Jesus by offering to give him something. And what he offers him is what actually belongs to Jesus by right as the Son of God. Jesus knew that in his identity as the Son of God, that his destiny would be to inherit all the kingdoms of the earth, to become the King of Kings, to rule over all of creation, as it is spoken of about him in Psalm number 2. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask, and I will give you all the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession." This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. And Satan here says, "Here you go, it's yours. You can have it all. Just on one condition, kneel down and worship me." The sting of this test is that Israel also faced this test time and time again. They were called to be God's holy nation, through whom God would bless all nations of the earth. But Israel failed, choosing to worship and serve other gods time and time again. Their allegiance to God was compromised. But Jesus responds to Satan's offer in verse 10. "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and only serve him." Jesus proves that his allegiance is perfectly aligned to God and God alone. And what's really significant about this moment is Jesus is submitting to God's will for his life. And Jesus knows that the path to becoming the King of Kings, to inherit all creation and to rule over it in wisdom and power and mercy, is through passing through the road of suffering, the road that will lead him to the cross. Jesus knows that his crown will be a crown of thorns. Jesus will not take the easy road, but he will choose the hard road to win salvation for us. Because Jesus overcomes the devil here, we know that he will overcome the Satan again on the cross, when Jesus is enthroned as king on the cross. And that is the rich beauty of this passage for us today, that Jesus passes the test where Israel did not. And whereas you and I are prone to fail, where we give in because of our weakness and our selfishness, Jesus does not fail, but he perfectly overcomes the test. You and I, we all face an ultimate test, one that we cannot pass. God weighs our hearts, and we are all found to be lacking, unworthy, and imperfect. Our human hearts do not perfectly listen to God. They do not perfectly honor God. They do not perfectly serve God. But the grace of God is this: that Jesus passes the ultimate test on your behalf. Jesus comes into the classroom, he sits down and he takes the test for you. He gets an A+, and the score that Jesus gets, he gives to you and to me. So next time you face a test and you fail, praise Jesus that he does not fail, that he is a perfect saviour. It says in the book of Hebrews, "Since we have Jesus as a great high priest, he understands our weaknesses. He faced the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." That's one part of the story for us. But grace does not end there. because actually Jesus triumphs over the devil so that we too might conquer the devil in our lives. Hebrews also says, since Jesus has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. How do we obtain help from Jesus when we're being tested in our lives? Well, I have two things. And the first, when you've got an exam, how do you overcome the exam? You prepare, you study, you know your material. So in the same way, we need to each of us depend on God. And we each need to feed on God's word every day to prepare for the test that will come in our lives. Just as Jesus rebuked Satan again and again with scripture, so too we have the same weapons at our disposal. Jesus, being a Jew, he knew his Torah, he knew the Psalms, he knew the prophets. He knew them by heart, he would have recited them every day, and he quoted them in his ministry, and he stood on them in his battles. So when you face tests and temptations in your life, know your scriptures and stand on them. Pray them, hold them up to God. Trust in the promises of God's word. And also know yourself and the tests that will be hardest for you, the ones that you are prone to encounter. My friend who I mentioned at the start, who had only $50 left in his bank account, he prayed and he wrestled really hard with God. He read his Bible and he yielded up to God his fear that things were going to get only worse. And he did this again and again until he felt peace and a breakthrough. He trusted Jesus to provide for him and his wife. And Jesus did provide for him. He rediscovered an old bank account that he'd had for years but had completely forgotten about, which had accumulated interest over all these years. So suddenly he discovered he actually was in possession of $5,000. And this was after he'd prayed and wrestled with God through this difficult season. The second thing for us, I think, a great way to prepare well for an exam is to study in groups, in community. Whereas Jesus in this passage is alone, he is facing the devil alone. We do not have to face the devil alone. We do not have to face our tests alone. Jesus gives us each other to care for each other. We're given to each other to comfort, to uphold, to support, to strengthen, and to guide. Where you're facing tests in your journey of faith, find a Christian that you trust and ask for their support. Don't go it alone. You don't need to do it like Jesus did it. We actually do need each other. And we need the words and encouragement of our closest companions who feed us scripture when we are too weak and beaten down to see it clearly for ourselves. So as I conclude, let's pray together. Lord, in all the tests and temptations and trials that we face even now, Lord, would you speak your word to each one of us and give us courage to trust you at your word, to stand on your word, that we might listen to you, honour you and serve you only. Help us to see the devil's wiles and tactics for what they are and to call them out. And Lord, above all, lead us to praise you, for you overcame where ultimately we could not. Thank you for overcoming for our sake. In Jesus' name, amen.